Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to, we're going to start in Haggai. Now, Haggai is one of the minor prophets. It's between the two Z's. So you got Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. And we're just going to, this morning's message is going to be a little bit different. The idea, it's more of a topical sermon. So we're going to be turning to different spots in the Bible, but Haggai is probably the hardest one for you to find. I know most of you guys are Bible scholars, you're already there, but Haggai is one of those shorter books. It's only two chapters long, but it has a very, very powerful message. Now, there's a lot of different Sundays I look forward to throughout the year. Actually, I look forward always to Sundays. But one of the Sundays I look forward to that I think are very important is the Sunday before a big meeting, you know, before a missions conference, before spring revival, before a Bible conference, because I believe it's an important service or services throughout the day to get our hearts ready for what's hopefully hearing from the Lord next week. And if we can get our hearts ready and straight and seeking the Lord this upcoming week, boy, we'll be ready for next Sunday, and it'll be easier for us to learn and hear from the Lord if our hearts are already pure and clean and headed to revival in our own hearts. So this morning in the book of Haggai, there's a question I like to consider. Now, I like to consider this every day of my life as I'm going through my prayer time. And it says, consider your ways. And as foreman, this is just the introductory part, but we are going to spend a few minutes on there because I want you to consider your ways today. I want you to consider your ways of what you're looking for. Years ago, I preached a message about what is it that you expect from a church? What is it that you want from a church? And we talked about some for biblical things. And then consider your ways when it comes to our finances, or consider our ways when it comes to our Bible reading, or consider our ways to all different types of things. And here in this passage of Scripture, Haggai is speaking. He's called to the Lord to bring a very powerful message to a group of people that was struggling. They were struggling with having the wrong priorities. They had no problem with building their own life and building their own homes, but their issue was they didn't want to. They said it wasn't time to worry about the work of the Lord. And I want to encourage you today, as we're going through this, consider what you want from God. Consider what you expect from God. Because as we get ready to embark on what I believe is a great week of preaching, the question is, are we truly seeking the Lord, or what is it that we're seeking at a week-long of meetings? Now, some people come for different reasons. Some people feel like they come because they have to. They come because if they don't show up, they're going to get in trouble with the preacher. I don't know whoever told them that. But in the reality, obviously, we do have certain, if you're a leader around here, if you're a teacher, other things, there are certain requirements that go along with that. And attending church, that's right. If you're going to be a teacher at the church, we expect you to be faithful. I think that's pretty normal, pretty common sense. That's a right thing. But there are other things. I'm going to get in trouble if I don't show up to church for a little while. Preacher's going to call me. Preacher's going to text me. I'm going to do that, not because I want to give you a hard time, but because I miss you. I want to make sure you're okay, and because I love you. And I think church is the best thing for us. We need it because God tells us we need it. But what is it that you're looking for? And in Sunday school, we've been going through a little book called Revival Praying. And in Revival Praying, they have a title that's called one of the final chapters. It's Revival or Relief. And what is it that we're seeking from God? Are we seeking relief to make our lives more comfortable? Or do we really want God to work in our hearts? Many times, if we look at our prayer list, and we're looking for comfort. We're looking for a way to make things easier, a way to make things simpler. But the challenge is, are we consumed with our comfort? Are we consumed with God's glory? Because God many times works through the hard times even greater than he does during the easy times. Because during the easy times, we don't consider our ways. When things are going easy and things are going well, we all look around and we're like, hey, God's blessing, God's good, God's this, God's that, but we don't even consider God's glory. But boy, when times get hard, when times get tough, when times become so challenging in our lives that we have nothing else in our life but to depend upon God, we go to God and we seek God and we seek God's face and we search for God and we're saying, God, will you please help us? Those are the times that we realize that we depend upon Him for everything. But the challenge is remembering we depend upon Him for everything every day, whether times are good, whether times are bad, whether times are times of meeting our expectations or exceeding our expectations, or at times that we are filled with disappointment. So this morning, I want you to consider your ways, and I really want you to consider your ways about what it is that you're expecting from God when you pray. Entitled this morning's message is very simple. It's seeking God. Seeking God. Over and over in His Word, He tells us to seek Him. I know one of the first things that came to my mind when I talk about seeking God, one of the first things that came to my mind was, well, is He lost? Why do I need to seek after God? Is He hiding? Is He lost? And the answer is no, God is not lost. God is not hiding from us. God does not want His will to be some type of cosmic Easter egg hunt. God is there and God is available. God says, if you seek me, you're going to find me. And the idea of seeking means that on purpose that we are seeking God, that God is our highest priority. If we're looking for something, if we're seeking for something, we set other things aside. And so it's not as the idea that God is lost, because He has promised He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. So why does He tell us to seek us? It's because many times we lose sight of Him. We lose sight of His presence. We forget that we live always in the presence of God. Key is, do we live consciously in the presence of God? Realizing that every moment of every day, He sees what we're doing and what we're saying and how we're behaving. And those things make a difference. Seek my face is a different things that are different times found in the Bible. It means seeking to find. It means to require, to desire, to request, to seek with care, to inquire a frequent place, to seek deity in prayer and worship. It gives the idea of a yearning, a frequency of inquiring, a desire to enter into the presence of someone, a desire to enter into the presence of God. This morning, as we look at this, I don't know what the exact title should be or what it looks like, but it's Consider Your Ways or Seeking God. The question, more importantly, is what is it that we want from God? Do we truly want God? Or do we want our way? I truly believe prayer is something that not getting our will done in heaven. Prayer is God's getting His work done in our lives. We should go humbly before the Lord and say, God, You're right. I'm wrong. What is it that You want done in this situation? How is it that You receive glory out of this? God, I'm not trying to get You and persuade You and convince You to do something that You already desire to do. Show me what it is You want me to do and how You want me to act. I think that's true revival style praying. Let's jump in here in Haggai. Hopefully you found it by now. Haggai chapter number 1. In the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of His Word. God, as we enter into Your presence, help us to surrender. Help me to see You for who You are and for who I am. And God, that You would give me the words to say, and that, Lord, that I would say those things that You once said this morning. That You would lead and guide and direct throughout the whole service, throughout the whole message. And that each of us, as we're praying, Lord, that we would pray that You would speak to us, Lord, with the needs that we have. Lord, I pray that that you reveal unto us what we truly are looking for. And God, if what we're looking for is not your glory, if what we're looking for is not you working, if what we're really looking for is comfort, that we would repent of it and that we would seek you. Because in your word, over and over, you tell us to seek your face. And Lord, there's benefits with that. But Lord, there's a way to seek your face also. Speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. When you come to certain passages or certain topics in the Bible, there's sometimes you feel like, as a preacher, at least for me, there's certain times I don't feel like you're going to scratch the surface. And when God leads you to passages like that and to spots about that, you say, well, just preach the Bible. And I get that, and that's what we're going to do is preach the Bible. But my interest and my intention is that God would work in all of our hearts and God would work in all of our lives, and that the message would go across clear. And clearly the message is we're supposed to seek the Lord. So when you come to the spot, consider your ways. Why? What does that have to do with the message? Here's the thought. Consider your ways while you're seeking God. Or why are you seeking God? So to give you a quick, and like I said, this is a little bit longer induction than normal, but it gives you the idea they were supposed to go back. This is a group of the remnant. They were supposed to go back. They were supposed to build the temple, going to rebuild Jerusalem. They had issues. They had problems. In verse number 2, you see that they say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. I mentioned this in the men's prayer meeting yesterday in devotions. This is not talking about our physical building. It's not talking about the physical needs of our building. We have a beautiful sanctuary. We have beautiful facilities. It does take care of things. We're not talking about that today. We're talking about instead, this is the Lord's work, and this is what God is trying to do in our hearts, and this is what God's trying to do in our lives. And this group of people looked in verse number 2 and say, no, you know what? I don't think it's the right time to pay attention to God's work. I don't think it's the right time for us to build the temple. I don't think it's the right time to focus on the things of God because things are difficult, things were hard, things were tough. I think it's time that we should focus more on ourselves or focus inwardly or focus on our own homes. Because if you go to verse number 3, it says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you? And this is the question that God is asking to this people. It might seem like it's harsh because it's coming from Haggai, but it says the word of the Lord came to Haggai. God gave Haggai this word to say. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in the sealed houses and this house lie waste? Sometimes people get upset with the preacher. They look at him and say, what's wrong with that guy? You know, what's he saying? And I know Haggai, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pens these words. But you got to remember, if it's a message from the Bible and God puts it on the heart of the preacher, that the words and the questions that are being said is the message that wants to be relayed to you. So consider your ways. He says, look, you have said it's not time to build the house of God or the work of the Lord, but what you have done is you've taken and you've made yourself sealed homes. And this idea of sealed homes, it gives the idea of not just a normal home. It talks about a home that is nice. And I mentioned to the men yesterday, nothing wrong with having nice things if God allows you to, but don't forsake the work of the Lord. Make sure you have the right priority. Make sure you're seeking the Lord for the right reasons. Make sure that his work is being taken care of. And not just, hey, you got a house there, you've taken care of your house, and you made it extravagant, and now you're saying, it's okay, I can take care of myself, but who cares about the work of the Lord? Oh, no, it's not the right time to worry about God. It's not the right time to seek after God. It's not, and so consider your ways. And he comes, and he says to him, he says, in verse number four, it says, is it time for you to sealed and dwell in the sealed houses, and this is your house? This house life waste is saying the work of the Lord is suffering because of the fact you're not paying attention to her. You're not seeking the Lord. And then he says again in verse number 5, now therefore saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag of holes. He says, there, these are things that are happening in your life that you're not satisfied with. There are things in your life that are happening, and you just can never find enough. It's simple. It says, look, you eat, but you're never enough. You drink, but you're always thirsty. It talks about how you're earning earning wages and you're putting in a bag and it's just falling out, that your life is not being blessed. You're never satisfied. You're never content. And here's the reason why, is because you're focusing on yourself and not seeking after the Lord. And because of that, God is allowing things to happen to where normally you would be satisfied, but you're miserable. Always wanting more, always desiring more. It's not enough. It's sort of like the money is just going right down the drain over and over and over. And he says to him in verse number 7, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord." He says, change. He says, if it comes to the point that you're not, as you go back and you consider your ways, and you look at your ways, and you consider them, and you realize, hey, I've not put an emphasis on the work of the Lord. I have not put an emphasis on seeking God. He says, well, that's okay. Just go up and do, and begin to do it, and change, and God will get glory for that. So today, I'd like for you, I know there's a lot of different things you're trying to draw into one spot here, is consider your ways. When it comes to why you seek God. Why are we here today? Are we here because we want life to be easy? Are we here because we want comfort? Are we here because of the fact that we just want friendship? Are we here because we want to hear from God? The Almighty God of the universe desires to speak to us, desires to fellowship with us, desires that we would meet with Him. The question is, why do we seek after Him? Is it because we want something or because we want God? So today, let's look at a couple things with this. And the first thing I want you to think about, as I mentioned earlier, we are going to do a little bit of turning around in the Bible. And let's go ahead and start in the book of Proverbs. I got a lot of verses here just because I want to make sure you understand what the Bible is saying here. So in Proverbs, let's go ahead and start in chapter 8, verse 17. So there's only two main points after that long introduction. Hopefully it wasn't too jumbled to where you didn't get it. But it's the idea, I'm considering my ways. Why do I seek after God? Why do I pray? Why do I read my Bible? Why? Is it because I want to know God better? Is it because I have that desire? If we think about it, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, I know we're going in the book of Philippians, it says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. He says, and in that chapter 3, he talks about how he lays everything aside. He's willing to count everything but loss, all for the purpose that he might know God better. So as we consider why we are sitting here at church today, as we consider why someone would have a meeting that would last from Sunday to Sunday, I know some people complain about Saturday night church. I tell you, I got saved on a Saturday night church service. I don't think there's anything wrong with not having church service on Saturday night. We only do it once, maybe twice a year at the most, but at the same time, there's nothing wrong with having it. Why do you do that? It's because we want to seek the Lord. It's because we put other things up, and it's not the fact that God is lost. It's the fact that we put other things in front of God, and we put other things as a priority, and it's not my purpose anymore. It's not my desire in life. It's not my goal in life anymore, and this is a fresh, renewed look at why do I do what I do for the name of God? Consider your ways while you seek Him. He says here in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, says, "I love them that love me. Those that seek me early shall find me." So the two main points. First one is the way we are supposed to seek God. The way that we are supposed to seek God. And with that, it talks about with priority. So we're supposed to seek Him with priority. What does it mean, seeking Him early? That means before anything else. Before we get distracted with anything else. And I know I've had problems with this in the past. I get up in the morning, and I don't know about if you're like me at all. In the morning time, I get up and I go use the restroom. That happens when you get older, I guess. And you go use the restroom, and then the first thing in my mind is, I want to serve God. You know, I'm excited about what God can do. I'm excited about what God, and I pray to the Lord for a little while. And I used to, there are things I'd rather look at than my Bible. Whether it's news or sports, I think, well, I can just read my Bible later on. It wasn't a priority to me. It would be, I'm going to go see who won the football game or the basketball game or see what's going on in the world. And I can get back to reading the Bible in a little while. That's not a big deal. Now, it wasn't the first priority. And when I wake up in the morning because I love the Lord and I want to do what the Lord wants me to do, that's what's on my mind, heart, and first. First and foremost, when I wake up, I want to serve you today. It's not about, all these things. I want to serve you today. But when I don't make him a priority to seek him first, you know what happens? Other things get in the way. And it's not like God has moved. It's the fact that I've just put other things in front of God. And now I must say, let me set these things aside and let me seek after God. Who really cares who won the football game or basketball game? The God of the universe is there and he's waiting to meet with you. You know, whether I look at the score, it's not going to change an hour later after I get done spending time with God, is it? It's not. And you're just like, well, God's still going to be there. Well, you're kind of putting things before him. And the Bible says, have no other gods before me. So seeking after the Lord means that we seek him early. It means that we seek him at the beginning. He is a priority in our life. If you have a pen and papers, I'm going to give you some of these things on purpose so that way I know we can't turn to all of them. So not only does he tell you to do it with a priority, he tells you to do it with all your heart. And this is in a couple of different passages. Deuteronomy 4:29 puts it this way. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So they're saying all your inward. Everything that matters, the center of your life, if you will seek after God with all your heart and all your soul, you're going to find him. It even says in Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. This is how we're supposed to seek after God. This is the type of relationship we're supposed to have. God, I love you. I want to make you a priority in my life. I'm going to seek you early and I'm going to seek you with all my heart. It's not going to be a divided thing. So I don't understand that. Well, think about it. The Bible talks about no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So according to what the Bible is saying, that either you can love God or you can love something else, but you can't love both. And you say, what is a divided heart? Well, think about it. Me and my wife are celebrating our anniversary this coming week. I think it's on Friday. And it's on the 7th, I know that. And, you know, if I told my wife, hey, I love you, but I only love you with half my heart. I want to go out and find another girl. I don't think anybody would take me. But I want to go out there and find another girl, and I want to love her with the other half of my heart. Do you think she would do that? I don't think so. Now, first of all, it's unbiblical. I know there's some religions out there that would tell you it's okay and that they can have this wonderful relationship with all these multiple wives. I don't get it. I don't see it. And I wouldn't want her to do that to me. I want her to say, hey, look, I only love you with part of my heart. I need this other part of my heart filled, and I'm going to go seek me. I'm going to go find me another man. I wouldn't want that. No, that we wouldn't want that. But how come it is with God when he says, I want you to seek me, I want you to put first, I want you to have a priority when you're talking to with me, when you're going with me. I want to be first with all my heart. That's when it says in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And he's saying all of it. Lean not onto thy own understanding. So what the Bible is saying there is, hey, God, I'm trusting you with my whole heart. Other parts of us in our flesh are going to say, hey, this makes more sense, and this makes more sense. He says, no, I'm not going to lean into my own understandings. I'm trusting God with my heart. Lean not onto my own understandings, but all my ways I'm going to acknowledge him, and he's going to direct my path. That means my heart's not divided. So when I'm seeking the Lord, I realize, God, you are first, you are foremost, in every situation and everything, I'm seeking the Lord, what he would want me to do, and as I'm seeking him, I'm doing it with my whole heart. It's not divided. It's not, okay, I'm seeking God, but I'm seeking this person too. God comes first and foremost above everything else. I'm seeking him. I'm searching for him. I want to know what his will is, and I need to do it with my whole heart. I need to do it early. And the great thing is there's a promise. He says, if you do it with your whole heart, you're going to find me. It's not, okay, God, I found you. Now God's going to move somewhere else, and I got to go look somewhere else. No, he says he's there. He's available and can be found. Not only does it say that we should do it with our whole heart, not only does it say you do it as your priority, it also says we should do it continually. I know sometimes if we are dedicated Christians, we'll spend some time with God in the morning time. We'll spend some time with God in our prayer time and reading our Bibles. We'll close it up, and it's the last time we talk to God all day. Oh, that's not what he wants. That's how many people that we would say are dedicated. Now, consider your ways here. So go back. Why am I doing it? Because if I'm really looking for God to work, I'm not just looking for relief, because God is not my lucky rabbit's foot. God is not someone that is like a slot machine. I'm going to keep on playing it. No. God is not here for us. We're here for him. And God does provide us so many promises and so many wonderful things. And he does promises that we can have peace. He does promises that the strength. He does promises that he will never forsake us and leave us. I understand all that. But getting God's will done here on earth is our responsibility. So often our prayers are all about, God, this is what I want. Can you make this happen? God, and we try to get up into heaven and say, God, this is how I think you should do things. I think you should move this guy here and this person here. I think you should make this person stay, and I think you should make this person go. And we tell God how he should run his universe. Where it should be, God, I'm going through a hard time. This is what I see. This is my desire. But Lord, if my desire doesn't match up with your desire, it's okay. You're God. I'm seeking your will in this situation. I would love for you to heal that person. I would love for you to save that person. I would love for this person to stay. But God, whatever it is your will, I'm seeking you because you are enough. It's the sufficiency of Christ. He is everything we need. If he is our everything, then we will seek after him. But when comfort is our goal, when relief is our goal, when a product is our goal, then we're just asking God. Are we supposed to use God, or is God supposed to use us? Are we not his servants? And so when we think about it, so why am I seeking after God today? Am I trying to get my will done here, or am I trying to seek his will? I know, once again, it's just scratching the surface because it's overwhelming, it's mind-blowing that I'm supposed to seek after God not only early, but with my whole heart. And then he goes on and he says, continually, seek the Lord in 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. It's like, get into his presence. Seek his presence continually. He say, Pastor, we're always living in the presence of God. Yes, he sees us. He sees what we do. But do we realize that we're in his presence? Or have we put so many things in front of us that we don't even see it, and we don't even ask him, and we don't even seek after him because we care so much about everything else? Then not only does it tell you first, with a priority, with all our heart, continually, but it says with a passion. You think about this. It says in Psalms 63:1, and this is the Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Now listen to this. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Wow. That is how the Bible says, God says that we're supposed to seek after him. Is this if we're thirsty? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I speak, I get thirsty. And I get a drink of water out, and I do this. Sometimes I don't bring water up here. And that's my own fault. I know that. And I know people are willing to put the water up there. I get all that. And sometimes I'm really thirsty. And the first thing I want to do when I get out of church is go back and get a drink of water because I'm thirsty. Sometimes, though, I want to greet the people, too. So when I get some time to myself, I'll go grab a water bottle. I'll drink the whole water bottle because I'm thirsty. There's desire. I'll look it out. And if it's a really good day, I'll go find some Mountain Dew. And I'll drink some Mountain Dew, some blue Mountain Dew at that. That's the best stuff. And I'll go find me that and I'll drink it because I have a desire there and it's something I want and something I need. And that's what he's saying. If we would act as if we are thirsting after God, longing after God, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, that's saying, God, I cannot do this on my own. I need you, Lord. I'm seeking your face. God, will you please enlighten my eyes? Show me what it is that you want because I'm seeking after you. I know that seems like it's unreasonable, but it's what God says. And that's the type of person God will bless. One One more thing. He says do it with a clean heart also. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while you may be found, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the Lord forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So he's there. He says, look, seek the Lord while he may be found. How's that going to happen? The wicked are going to have to forsake their way. The unrighteous are going to have to forsake his thoughts. They're going to have to return unto the Lord. If you're going to seek after God, there's going to have to be some things that clean us up that we have to clean up. Because the Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, God's not going to hear us. So let's now go to Psalms, the book of Psalms, next book over. Let's go to Psalms chapter 34, Psalms chapter 34. So the first point was the way we are supposed to seek God, with all our heart, with priorities, with a clean heart, continually, with a passion. You say, well, Pastor, that seems a little bit much. But think about the benefits that happen. Think about the promises that are connected with it. Here are some of the promises attached to seeking God. Psalms 34:10, the Bible says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You believe that? You're not going to be wanting any good thing. You say, Pastor, God's been really good to me, but there's some things that I want. It must not be good for you then. So what do you mean? If I'm seeking the Lord, I'm desiring his will for my life, and I want to understand the will that God says, if you're seeking him, you're not going to be lacking any good thing. It must not be what you need. It must not be good for you. Ever had something? Sort of like when someone tells me my Blue Mountain Dew is not good for me. You don't need that. That's not good for you. It's true, but I want it. It seems like it's good. It tastes good. And it's the idea that there are sometimes things in our life that is not God's will. And he says, if you seek after him, in Psalms 34:10, he says, young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Go ahead and take it back to Psalms chapter number 9. Psalms chapter number 9 is just a few pages back there for you. In Psalms chapter number 9 and verse number 10, there's another promise. Not only is he not going to keep anything that's good for you away from you, in Psalm chapter number 9 it says, and they that know my name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. He says he's not going to forsake anyone that seeks him. Say, Pastor, but the Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So what do you do with that verse? You realize that we know he hasn't forsaken us because we're in his presence. How many times when the world seems like it's closing in around us and we got sin all around us, we feel like we are trying to hide from the presence of God? You think about Jonah. What did Jonah do? He went to this place. Why did he do it? To flee from the presence of God. Other people thought in the Bible, I'm going to go to this place. I'm going to get away from God, from the presence of God. It doesn't happen. But the reality that comes into it is we do not always understand that we're in the presence of God because we're not seeking after him. As we seek after the Lord, we will realize we're in his presence. Here's some other verses that have promises that attach to it. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. That's similar to Psalms 34:10, that he's good to them. So the Lord's always good to us. The Lord is always does good things to us. But there's sometimes things that are hard and difficult that he allows to happen in our lives because we're not seeking after him. Sort of like putting the money in and it falling right out the holes. Well, that's just God's will. It might not have been God's will. He might have had to grab a hold of your attention to say, hey, look, you need to seek after me. Because if you're seeking after him, you understand the good things that he's providing. Hebrews 11:6 put it this way, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He says he rewards those that diligently seek him. Say, Pastor, you're preaching that prosperity gospel. I am not. I'm preaching to you that God will reward you, and he rewards us in such greater ways that money cannot buy. There are a lot of people out there who make a lot of money, who commit suicide, that do not have peace, the type of peace that God has to offer in your life. It's that something he rewards you with as you seek after him. The faith that God gives us as we seek after him, to continue to build our faith and to increase our faith in believing and trusting in him. Matthew 6:33 talks about how it takes care of our needs. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He'll take care of our needs. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and this is a very famous verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And what's the next three words? Seek my face. So there is an attachment there, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their lands. It will help their nation when there is a nation that will turn, and they will begin to seek after God instead of seeking the things that they want. Psalms 119 verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. It's seeking and searching for God. So why do we seek after God? He says we'll be blessed. He says that he'll provide her needs. He tells us that he'll be good to us. You say, well, I don't understand what the big deal is. In Job verses 5, 8, and 9, it says, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. So in Job, it's saying here, I've sought after God, I've given him my cause, I've committed everything to him because he does those things that are unsearchable. He does those things I don't even understand. And he does marvelous things without number. Do we seek after him? Why do we come to church? I love the fellowship. I love hearing the singing. I love participating in the singing. You might think this sounds weird I even enjoy the giving part of it. I enjoy the fellowshipping of it. I enjoy the serving. I don't always enjoy when I know somebody's a little grumpy with me talking with them, but that doesn't ever happen, right? Nobody ever gets grumpy with a pastor. Now, it does happen sometimes, and you can tell, but you know what? I even enjoy praying for them, praying with them. Life is difficult at times. But if my goal is to seek after the Lord, all those things are small in comparison to finding and seeking him. So when trials come and hard times come, what do? You seek the Lord. When good times come, you seek the Lord. Because he's the one, as the choir sang, the one that remains. He's not going to change. He is there, and he said he will be found if you seek after him with your whole heart, if you seek after him continually, if you seek after him with priority, if you seek after him with a clean heart, he says you will find me. It is one thing that you can know that is constant in your life. God is there for you if you seek after him. Now, if you don't seek after him, you're seeking something else. You're not seeking those things that are good for you. The promises there are we don't see them as much. Once again, God is not lost. It's the fact that we put like veils up to where we don't see him because we seek after other things. David said in Psalms 27, you're right there anyway, you're close by in Psalms 27, and we're almost done with this. Psalms 27, look what it says in verse number 8. Psalms 27 says, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leaving me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. So he says, God had said, seek ye my face. And he made a commitment. Thy face, Lord, I will seek. I wonder how many of us really need to make that commitment today. Lord, you've told us, we've heard over and over, seek my face, seek my face, seek my face. Seek me early, seek me continually, seek me with a clean heart. Seek, seek, seek. We've heard it. It's from the Lord. So now we're going to make the commitment, Lord, thy face I'm going to seek. Thy presence I'm going to seek. God, I want to consciously live in your presence. Why would you do that? Because he's God. And he is all we really truly need. Now, I know we want the comfort. I know we enjoy having the things. I know all those things. I get that. I understand that. But when we seek God, Many of you have children, not all of you, but many of you have children. And if the only reason why your child would call you or ask you for things is because he wanted something, wouldn't that break your heart? I have two sons. Both my sons have been in college. The one's graduated, working on staff here. The other one's in college. And he called me yesterday. And when a child calls from college, usually you're thinking, okay, there's a problem. And with this one, there usually is a problem, though. Or they want money. I can honestly say over the years, the Lord's provided for them. And they coughed and call just because they love me. I don't understand that. I don't even like myself sometimes. But they love their dad. And plus, I give them a hard time if they don't call me. Say, hey, you never call me. But at the same time, they call me. And I say, okay, sometime in the conversation, it usually comes, what do you need? What's wrong? And sometimes the answer is, you know what? There is something, Dad, I needed to tell you about. But oftentimes it says, no, I just wanted to spend some time with you. And I called you because I wanted to spend some time with you. I wonder, in our own lives, do we do that for God? I think God, who desires fellowship, obviously he created us. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. We won't go into all that, but there's a desire there of fellowship. And how often, why do we seek God? Do I seek God because I want my family to turn out right? Well, that there is something to that. Do I seek that because I want a mighty moving of God? Okay. But seeking God means that he is enough and whatever he decides is okay. And I'm trusting in him. I'm not seeking him so he'll do this for me. I'm not trying to use God. I'm trying to put myself in a spot where God can use me for his honor and for his glory. And as I said, I think earlier, I don't know if everybody will get that or everybody will understand that. But as we begin a week of meetings next week, I want you to come because you have a passion for the Lord and you want God to speak to your heart. And sometimes we talk about people, God speaking to our hearts, and some people scratch their head and it's like, what do you mean God speaking to your heart? I mean, yes, he's not shouting out it with an audible voice, but he speaks to our heart about the things he wants us to change, the things he wants us to do. He speaks to our hearts about some powerful things in our life. And boy, it is the best time when you're seeking his face and you see an answer to prayer and you praise the Lord for it. I mentioned, I think, already about Outreach Saturday. You might say that's a simple thing. But boy, yesterday when Outreach visitation time, I didn't know if anybody was going to show up at the men's prayer meeting because we had the storm on Friday night and some of the roads could have been done. You had people ask me, are you going to have a men's prayer meeting? And I says, I can make it. So as long as you can make it, I even rode around to make sure none of the roads were flooded. And we didn't have as many as we normally did, but we had, I think, 8 there. And then I was thinking to myself, no one's coming to Outreach because of the fact we had the storm. Some of the roads are flooded. No one's going to come. And then I came out there, and yesterday, there was more people than we had any other time besides just our normal Outreach Saturdays, which is the big emphasis of people coming out. And boy, that was an answer to prayer. And the Lord kind of spoke to my heart because I was discouraged. I'm thinking, maybe I should just cancel men's prayer meeting. I could go up and study more and take a little bit easy. You know, we did have a storm. Everybody else closed down. Schools closed down. The Lord spoke to my heart. No, well, you want to seek the Lord. And that's what these men come to do. They can come if they can. And then with the outreach, the same thing. I told him, I said in the meeting, I said, we're going to go out and canvas and put things on the doors. If anybody wants to stay around, and like I said, walk out there and there's people sitting in the lobby. It was an encouragement to me. Why is that? Because of the fact that I was seeking the Lord on what we should do, and God spoke to my heart, hey, we should still do it. And then he gets encouraged my heart. There's good days. You seek him. You search for him. Now, when nobody shows up next Saturday, of course, I know everybody's going to show up next Saturday. And when no one shows up next Saturday, what do you do then? You still seek him. You learn things. You grow things. It's just, what type of priority does God have in your life? Paul, one of the greatest Christians probably to ever live, says, hey, that I may know him. He is towards the end of his ministry there. He's already done so many things. He was a priority. I'm seeking God. So let us seek God in every avenue and every facet of our lives. And let us realize and let him be enough. He is enough for us. We don't need all the other things. He is God. And whatever he gives us, we can be satisfied with. Now, one last thing, and I know we're venturing into a little bit later than normal, is if there's someone here this morning that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, you cannot seek God until you're part of the family of God. There's a knowing God. You can know about him, but knowing God in a personal way means that there's been a moment in your life when you were convicted of your sins and you saw what Jesus Christ did and how he paid our sin debt for us. I'd love to explain that to you or have someone else explain to you and show you from the Bible how you can be saved on your way to heaven. So you can begin this amazing journey of seeking God. Not seeking God because you want comfort. Not seeking God because you want relief. Seeking God because you want God to be the most important thing in your life. That's a challenge for many of us. But that's what he tells us to do. Not just to seek him early, seek him with priority, seek him with a passion, seek him with our whole heart. I think most of us would say, I could do that better. During invitation time, I encourage you to speak to the Lord, whether you're at your seat or even better, here at the altar and say, God, help me to seek you for who you are. Let's pray.